Thank you, Father. You really say he can't hold you down? Remember you sang that this morning now. He can't hold you down, right? He can try, but you're greater, right? Father, I just thank you this morning for this people who came out to hear your word. Father God, they want revival so desperately in their hearts, their minds, their soul, and their spirits. Father God, I'm asking that you touch them this morning in a special way. Bring that revival within, Father, so we can spread it to the world. And Father, we just thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're seeking. Please, Father God, meet them where they're at. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I read an article about what God's real voice sounds like, and I'd like to read that this morning. It says, one time in a dream, God let me hear his real voice. God's real voice is like nothing else that I ever have felt or heard. There was so much power in his voice. His voice was neither male nor female sounding. It was almost like a computer or robot voice having a neutral tone to it. There was such power in his voice when he spoke. It shook everything and everything moved. It wasn't like an earthquake. It was like everything, including the air itself, was being electrocuted. If you ever had an electric shock, electricity moves and shocks every muscle in your body as it flows through you. It was like that. His voice was electric, and it was shocking everything, including the air itself. And everything was moving and shaking because of the electric shock. And his voice flowed like water through everything moving and having the ability to morph anything. It flowed through and electrocuted every atom and molecule, having the ability to change them or destroy them. His voice just flowed to the ends of the universe in an electric wave. God's voice contained the power of just one word to destroy even the greatest army. Just one word could destroy the air itself, including every atom and molecule. God's voice contains the power to create because there is an energizing life in his voice. It was like electricity. It was almost like his voice itself was alive. It is no longer hard for me to imagine how God could create the heavens and the earth by just speaking it. I also saw the Spirit of the Lord in the dream, and it came over me, and I could only see out of it, and it looked like a white cloud around me in a silhouette form. That makes sense because the Bible says God is Spirit. I woke up shaking from that dream. It was so powerful. I was pretty shook up for a while after that. I still get goosebumps when I think of it. I talk about this dream in my book. Now, that would be quite a experience to hear God's voice like that. Amen. I just thought that was an awesome article, and even reading, and you can see how he could create. You know, and I just think that we need to cry out to God to hear his voice like that, so we could create within us a brand new person, the person of Jesus. You know, and wouldn't it be neat if he just talked and created something within inside of us that no matter where we went, that we created also, just by us being there. I just think there's so much more that God wants to do with the body of Christ than what he is already doing. I just think that we're just living so far below that what God wants us to live. I mean, that's really birthed within my spirit that we are not what God has called us forth to be. Would you like to be like an atom or a molecule? And, you know, just have God just burst out through you wherever you went. Touch lives, change lives, you know, just be creative because you heard God's voice and it touched you and changed you. Well, that excited me, so I hope it excites you, and I hope you get so excited, just say, God, let me hear your voice like that. I think just hearing it would change you and like that and rearrange you. We always hear in that still small voice. I like to hear him in that thunderous voice. Amen. Yeah. That shakes everything. All right. So we'll move on. All right. We're talking about the weapons of spiritual warfare, and we started on truth Wednesday night. And then we started talking about how Satan, actually told Adam and Eve that God was a liar. So let's continue here. Keys to Satan's success. Just how does Satan get away with his opposition to the truth? As we read through the account of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3, our minds are boggled by the fact that Satan was able to convince Adam and Eve that God was a liar and that he, Satan, was telling the truth. How could a snake conceive his keepers that the one who created all of them was not telling the truth, nor was he worthy of being obeyed? But still in all, we are the same today as it was in the garden. Let me suggest how Satan is able to be so effective in his opposition to the truth. Number one, throughout the scriptures, Satan's deception is closely related to the arrogance and dogmatism with which he proposes his errors. Why would Adam and Eve believe a snake rather than God? In the account of Satan's temptation and their fall in Genesis chapter 3, we can see the arrogant boldness with which he tempts this couple. He dared to contradict God and to tell Eve that God's words were false. He dared to imply that God was the liar and not he. The same arrogance is evident in the way in which Satan responded to God in the first two chapters of Job. In the New Testament accounts of the temptation of our Lord, Satan dares to urge our Lord Jesus to act independently of God and to claim that he not only possesses all the kingdoms of the earth and to give them to whomever he chooses. He dares to quote scripture to the Son of God and to tell him how it should apply to his life and ministry. He further dares to ask Jesus to bow down to him in worship. He is so arrogant, so confident that even today we are inclined to believe that he is speaking the truth to grant that the kingdoms of the world are his to bestow. These false teachers may even appear to be opposed to Satan speaking arrogantly of angelic beings. Let's just stop there. Isn't this what's going on today in the earth? Isn't this the reason why gross darkness is covering the earth? Because the body of Christ is believing the lie and not the truth. The body of Christ has been deceived for so long, and God is trying to open up our spiritual eyes and ears so that deception is totally and completely out of the picture. What was it, 2 years ago, God said deception has now entered the church in all of its fullness. And if you wasn't careful, that this deception would take you out. Now I'm going to ask you, has anybody in here, you can just think this to yourself, has Satan really been coming? Have you been hearing this little voice that tries to convince you that what God is saying is really not God speaking? That he's not able, if you are hearing this voice, that this voice is not able to do what it's telling you it can do? So that's Satan trying to get you off course. That's Satan trying to get you in total disobedience to God. If God said it, he's going to do it. And when Satan, this little voice comes to you and tries to convince you that that really isn't God and he can't do that, then you know right then and there that a liar is talking to you and he's trying to steal from you what God is going to do for you. All right? 2 Peter 2:10, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. God said that false prophets were in the church. God said we need to be careful of who we are listening to. You need to know your word so that whenever you hear it, you will know whether it's truth or not. There's a lot of people out there, they twist the word to get across what they want to get across and not what the word is trying to get across to you. It is, all right, what I said was the 2 Peter 2:10, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority, daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties. It is this same dogmatism which causes many to heed the teachings of those false teachers who preached falsehood, sometimes identified as the doctrine of demons. You know, you will believe a lie because you want to believe a lie. Because there's something in you that does not want to know the truth or believe the truth. Because if you believe and know the truth, then you have to change. So I really want you to think about this morning. What is there in you that would rather believe a lie of Satan than the truth of the Almighty God? And why do you argue the Bible? Because there's something in you that doesn't want to grasp hold of the truth of the Word. 2 Corinthians 2:17, for we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. And 1 Timothy 1:6-7 says, for some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And as 2 Peter 2:1-2, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be maligned, and especially those who indulge the flesh in its corrupt desires and despise authority. Daring, self-willed, they do not tremble when they revile angelic majesties, whereas angels who are greater in might and power do not bring a reviling judgment against them before the Lord. But these, like unreasoning animals, born as creatures of instinct to be captured and killed, reviling where they have no knowledge, will in the destruction of those creatures also be destroyed. If you look at what's going on in the world today, this is taking place. And more, I'm even reading where more and more pastors are leaning towards the lie rather than the truth. They're giving in to these things that the enemy has brought into the atmosphere, into the churches. The pastors are actually starting to agree with darkness. Don't ever agree with darkness. You are light. And you need to let your light shine, let the light of Christ shine through you. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. We need to bring the true gospel to the people. You know, one day you're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to ask you, what did you do with so-and-so that I sent your way? Why didn't you tell them the truth? Why did you not tell them what they were believing was a lie? And that their blood's going to be in your hands. You don't want that to happen. You have to tell the truth. You cannot go the way of Baal. You just can't do that. No matter what the consequences are. Please remember that. You are representative of the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. And you need to speak the truth no matter what. Sometimes Satan even represents himself as Christ. You remember I told you Wednesday night there's a pastor in a church now. He dresses and looks, he thinks he's Jesus. And the people are following him. Matthew 24:23. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. This is where you have to be walking in the Spirit all the time. It doesn't matter how great the name is, you have to watch the fruit of the Spirit in that person. Don't follow everything you hear. Make sure that it witnesses with your spirit, that it lines up with the Word of God, before you take it into your spirit. Two, Satan appeals to our sinful and rebellious nature, offering us the lies we would rather believe than the truth. Satan appeals to our sinful and rebellious nature, offering us the lies we would rather believe than the truth. In Romans chapter 1, Paul speaks to the sin of men who choose to exchange the truth of God for a lie. And you read that in Romans 1:18 through 25, and especially verse 25. False teachers may offer an even better excuse for ungodliness, an even more convincing lie to believe in the place of the truth. False teachers may offer an even better excuse for ungodliness, an even more convincing lie to believe in place of the truth. You know, I heard I read about what a pastor of a big church said, you know, they were sort of doing worldly things, and they said, why are you doing this? They said, well, I have to keep up with what's going on in the world. You don't have to keep up with what's going on in the world. You are a child of the Most High God. You need to keep up with what God is doing. We are not here on this earth to keep up with the world. We're here on this earth to do a work for the Father, and we need to be about the Father's business and be doing what He is doing. Matthew 27:19. Is that right, Matt? And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, had Jesus up there, was going to get ready to crucify him. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. You know, saints of God, we need to be careful how we handle Jesus Christ and his anointing. You have souls in your hands, and you are going to be accountable to what happens to those souls. You cannot lead anybody astray. False teachers do not force their falsehood on others. They skillfully adapt their teaching to supply men with a falsehood they prefer to believe. Satan is successful because fallen men want what he has to offer. And when we say men, we mean both sexes, all right? Let's read that again. False teachers do not force their falsehood on others. They skillfully adapt their teaching to supply men with a falsehood they prefer to believe. Satan is successful because fallen men want what he has to offer. That's how, why you get some churches who are cults. They can get a lot of people into their churches because they talk about family. And who doesn't want family? Who doesn't want loving husband and wife and kids that are all just, you know? And so they use that as the basis to get you into their church. And then they start giving you their false doctrine, but they have you in there and have you so duped you don't even realize that you are falling for their false doctrines. This is why you need to know what the Word of God says. Number three, Satan preys on the weak and on their weaknesses. Satan targets those who are guilt-laden with sin as some of his prime targets. 2 Timothy 3:6 says, for among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Number four, Satan enhances his effectiveness by offering a message which appeals to the flesh. It is not the intellectual ability of the devilish messengers of falsehood which compels the hearer to accept their teachings. It is the fact that their teaching provides a rationale for ungodly conduct and self-indulgence. Let's read that again. It is not the intellectual ability of the devilish messengers of falsehood which compels the hearer to accept their teachings. It is the fact that their teaching provides a rationale for ungodly conduct and self-indulgence. In other words, there's something in you that wants to do that thing. And so when they talk about it in a roundabout way, that spirit in you that is not of God grabs hold of that thing and says, aha, it's all right if you do that. 2 Peter 2:18 says, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Let's read that again. For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. In other words, if you're weak, somebody stronger is going to overcome you. They're going to come by and they're going to make you believe a lie. This is why we have to be strong in the Lord. This is why we have to know our word. And this is why you have to be a fruit inspector. You have to be constantly checking out their fruit as they're ministering to you. You know, so many people, I know a lot of people don't talk much. And God points something else because they have a lot to hide. They don't reveal, you know, they really won't talk about themselves at all because they have something to hide. So just because a person doesn't talk much doesn't mean that they're just a saint. Amen. Satan enhances his effectiveness by employing methods which appeal to the flesh. Not only does Satan's message appeal to fallen and fleshly lust of men, but his methods are also those which rest on the power of persuasion rather than on the power of the truth. Let's just say if you're a smoker and you're trying to quit, look at all the stuff they advertise. And, you know, and because you're weak in that area, you keep on smoking, thinking, well, it's just not all that bad. Let's just talk about drinking soda. Sodas aren't good for you. But because they advertise them the way they do, they make them look enticing and good. And so you go out and you get a soda. Isn't that how it works? All right, so talk about Dunkin' Donuts. All that sugar isn't good for you, but you know, you see it advertised everywhere, you know, and think, oh, I think I'll go get a donut. See how it works? It's enticing, and you go and you do something you know that's not good for you. This is just how Satan works. Where am I at here? Note the contrast. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? Note the contrast between Paul's methods of teaching the truth and the slick sales talk of the false teachers. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void. In 1 Corinthians 2:1, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Paul said, when I came to you, I was scared. And that's what he was saying. He says, and I didn't have charisma. I was just led by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of people have charisma that do preach, but their lives aren't right. But they just have a way with words, and they just draw people to them. And the people are so deceived because of the way they talk that they stay with them, even knowing that it's not right. It always amazed me how people will stay in a church. Well, you know, he can really preach the word, but he's not, and I'm he or she, but they're not living right. Well, you know, they really know how to preach the word. So what are you going to do? You have to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to, follow charisma, or are you going to follow the Spirit? 1 Corinthians 3:14. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. We don't realize that our temples are so, you know, our body is really valuable to God. And what we're putting in us, poisoning our systems, is really a sin. And we should be taking better care of the temple of God than what we are. 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. So Paul's saying, let a man regard us in this manner. He said, as stewards, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. He doesn't want you to look, he didn't want them to look at them in any other way except as servants of Christ. Are you hearing this morning? Too many people want people to look at you instead of what Christ is doing through you. Too many ministers are wanting to be exalted, and that's not godly. Don't be one of those. Putting on the truth. It becomes quite apparent why truth is a valuable piece of our spiritual armor. Satan deals in deception and lies, and the truth is a part of our defense. If we are to put on the full armor of God, then we must not only know what the truth is, we must also know how to put it on. That is the principal focus of this portion of our study, to define what truth is and to explore the ways in which we put it on. You know, that my staff is starting to see how people will manipulate you to get what they want. At first they think, boy, she's really hard. No, I'm not really hard. People just will manipulate you to get you to do what they want you to do. So what you have to do, you have to know the truth of the whole situation, and so you know how to react to what they say to you. Amen? A lot of people said, well, the pastor said, and the pastor didn't know nothing about it. It's manipulation. Amen? Well, if the pastor said, well, that's okay, then we'll do that. Then I find out, no, I didn't say that. But you have to know when you're being manipulated. Your answer should be, well, if the pastor said so, I'll have to check with the pastor, then I'll get back with you. Amen? All right, now. I said, if we are to put on the full armor of God, then we must not only know what the truth is, we must also know how to put it on. That is our principal focus of this portion of our study, to define what truth is and to explore the ways in which we put it on. Now, Pilate said it long ago. He said, what is truth? In John 18:38. What is truth? His words certainly reflect a kind of cynicism about ever knowing what the truth is. You know, this is words. It's hard when you're a child of God and you sort of have a little bit of a sin nature, because, you know, some church will say, well, you know, not everybody's perfect and we're all going to sin. And, you know, they do it in such a way that they're saying it's okay if you sin a little every now and then. And it's not. It's not. And see, people like that because they have a nature in them that does want to sin a little bit. And so they fall for that line and then they get in trouble with God. It is either white or it's black. There is no gray area. There really isn't. You're either for God or you're against God. How many of us, just think about it, how many of you, when you were first born again, there were a whole lot of things you did that you didn't know was wrong, but as you were taught the truth from the Word, and you realize, hey, you know, I got to get rid of this, I got to get rid of that. You know, I used to love owls, and I used to do ceramic work, and I'd made some beautiful owls, but then I found out they're not godly. I had to throw all those things in the trash. This is what I'm talking about. You know, there's things you did that you didn't know was wrong. But when you read the Word and it's proven to you in the Word, then you have to get rid of that stuff out of your life. You have to change the way you walk. If you're going to be a true child of God and to be a witness for Christ. There was a person who used to go overseas all the time. They'd always bring me back the prettiest thing, but I couldn't accept it because I knew that those trinkets were prayed over and demons were put into them, and I could not take them into my home. You know, so and when I became born again, I found out, well, you don't accept things like this because you are bringing a demon into your home. So you've got to change your lifestyle once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, born again. All right. All right. The Bible assures us in John 8:32 that we can know the truth and that the truth will set us free. Centuries ago, the prophet Isaiah described the miserable state into which Israel had fallen. Among its many maladies, Israel had become a nation where truth was not only scarce, it seemed not to exist. There was no man who could save this nation from its sin, so the Lord himself came to bring forth truth and justice to those who would trust and obey. Now, I'm teaching on this. God has had me teach on this because, saints, the world is going to get even darker than what it is right now. And the world is going to start coming into the house of God. And we as children of God, we have to know what the truth is, the solid truth is, stand on that solid truth so we can win those souls to Christ. Now, if you only know half truth, you can't win anybody to Christ. Because you're still letting them, making them believe, well, you can still stay in the world and still, you know, go to heaven. You can't do that. So we have to know what the whole truth is. We have to walk, we have to apply that whole truth to our lives and walk it out and then win others to Christ. Same way. Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save. Neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adder's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Their webs will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl, like bears, and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words, and justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away, for truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw it and was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. You see all this? This is going on today. And he saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him. and his righteousness upheld him, and he put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense, so they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and his great glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives, and a redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth. Hear that? God's word shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring. Your children should speak the same as you do, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. Isaiah 59, 1 through 21. Up in verse 18, it says, according to their deeds, so he will repay wrath to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense. Then it says, so why will he do that? So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. See, the world does not fear God because the church is ungodly. They see the church sitting, you know, people sitting in church doing ungodly deeds. And so they have no fear of God, because if you can sit in church and be ungodly, then what do they have to fear? Because God's not striking you dead. Are you seeing this? We are a poor witness to the world. We are telling the world God is nothing. He means absolutely nothing to us. And that, well, he might not. If you're still out there sinning, then he evidently doesn't mean too much to you. Because if you really receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to want to line up with what his word tells you you should be as a child of God. Amen? You know, when I was first born again, the first thing God told me was, turn your TV set off. So I went home and said to my husband and kids, I said, you know, God told me to turn the TV set off, so I have to turn the TV set off. So I turned it off. We didn't watch TV for 8 years. Well, I went to a church, and the pastor said, I don't know how he said it, but he said, she turns her TV sets around to the wall so she can't see him. And that was a lie. I didn't. They were sitting there just like you could turn them on anytime you wanted to and watch them. But, you know, and he just couldn't understand. I loved the man. I really did. He just couldn't understand how I could possibly just turn the TV set off and not watch it. We didn't do it for 8 years. And my mother came to stay with me, and she was sick. And she said, well, at least let me watch TV. And so going against God's wishes, I turned the TV off on and haven't been able to turn it off since. You know, everybody wants to watch it. See, if I wouldn't have listened to man and kept listening to God, I wouldn't have a TV set in my house today, being corrupted by the world. So what was so bad about me not watching TV? Why could a pastor not believe that I could do that? You know, my whole household, they learned how to read. They love reading to this day. Because when you aren't sitting there with your eyes glued to that square box, you can pick up stuff and educate your mind. Amen. So what I brought that up is, God just brought that to my memory. To say this, if God is telling you to do something that's contrary to the world, that the world can't believe, well, there's no way God would tell you not to do that. Do it anyhow. Do what God is telling you to do, not what you think man wants you to do. Don't try to keep up with the world. You be what God's calling you forth to be. Amen. As we read Isaiah, we see that is where Paul's imagery of the Christian's armor comes from. All right. Isaiah 11:5, righteousness shall be the belt of his loins and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The Christian's armor is the armor which Christ himself put on when he set out to save fallen men from their sins. From Romans chapter 13, we learn that putting on our armor is simply putting on Christ. Romans 13:11, and this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, talking to us this morning. For now revelation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. You know, God is trying to teach this church how to walk in the truth and in his light so that he can send the darkness to us and our light will be so bright it'll break the darkness. And I'm talking about people, souls. This is why you're being taught the way you're being taught. God is getting you prepared for the harvest of souls that he's going to bring your way. You might meet them on the street. You might meet them in a grocery store. You might meet them in a hospital room. You don't know where God you're going to be when God sends a lost soul to you. You need to know the truth, and the truth should have set you free already. And then when the darkness comes to you, you can then bring forth the truth out of you and save their soul. Then they in turn should go and tell somebody else the truth. It's a domino effect. But up till now, the church has been dark. And the church hasn't been able to save the world because they don't know the truth. But God is making a way for the church to know the truth. He's making a way for the truth to set us free. All right? God is a God of truth who cannot lie. You'll find that in Psalm 31:5, Isaiah 65:16, and Titus 1:2. God is a God of truth who cannot lie. He sent his Son to the earth to communicate once and for all his truth to men. See that in Hebrews 1:1-2 and Hebrews 2:1-4. The Lord Jesus not only came to communicate God's truth, John 8:40, but he was the truth that would set men free. This is what blows my mind about Satan, because Satan was where at one point? In heavenly places with Jesus. But yet whenever he was cast out and then he took Jesus to be tempted, he presumed that Jesus was going to follow him. Can you believe that? That happens in the church every day. Children of God will follow darkness. It happens all the time. So let's not go back there and, you know, get on to Satan, because Satan is in the churches today, and people, and Satan is drawing people out of spirit-filled churches and taking them into his darkness. Why? Because they like to believe that lie. It makes them comfortable when they're not hearing the truth. When you hear the truth, you get uncomfortable and you either change or you run away from it. Come on. John 1:14 said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. See, John said Jesus existed before time. Why can't we believe John, if nothing else? Come on. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You have to receive Jesus Christ for who he truly is if you're ever going to make heaven your home. And you're not going to be all sitting around saying, well, how do I know that, you know, Jesus is real and you keep on sinning? That's not going to take you to heaven. That's no excuse. You're going the opposite direction. So you need to this morning, you need to turn around and you need to follow the truth with all of your heart, and you need to live it with all of your heart. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But that's not the case, is it? People hear the truth all the time in the house of God, and they leave here just as bound up as were when they came. Why? Because Satan is still speaking into their ears, still making them believe, oh, you don't really have to do all that to be saved. But you do have to do all that to be saved and to stay saved. You really do. Why did God say in his word, Paul said that he had to be careful lest when he preached others, he himself would fall. Now, Paul says that we need to say that too. God told me that one day when I was walking down there preaching. He said, you be careful lest when you preach these, you yourself will fall. So he knew that Satan was laying a trap for me, and Satan did lay the trap. But because God showed me that, I was watching and I saw it and I didn't fall. Are you guys, you really need to understand, whenever you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Satan is immediately right there going to try to trip you up and take you out of God's will and take you to hell with him. He's right there, and he's going to work on you overtime. The truth is that Jesus was God's promised Messiah. He was the Lamb of God who was sent to take away the sins of the world. I said the truth is that Jesus was God's promised Messiah. He was the Lamb of God who was sent to take away the sins of the world in John 1:29. He died on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins and its punishment. He was buried and rose from the dead, proving that God was satisfied with his saving work. It is by faith in Jesus Christ that men come not only to salvation, but to the truth. As Paul puts it in Ephesians 4:20, but you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth as is in Jesus. He who is the truth has sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, John 15:26 and 16:13, and has given us the Bible, the word of truth, 2 Corinthians 6:7, 2 Timothy 2:15, and James 1:18, so that we may know all truth that is necessary for life and godliness. So it said, he who is the truth has sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and has given us the Bible, the word of truth, so that we may know all truth that is necessary for life and godliness. That is necessary for life and godliness, saints. That's why that you have to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. Because Satan is very sly. Why do you think that men and women, or women, can deceive the opposite sex? With their cunning words, their slyness, you know, their gift of gab, their charisma. Because the enemy is in them, drawing others down into the pit with them. Amen. Putting on the truth begins with trusting in him who is the truth, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. From this point, we enter into the lifelong process of being sanctified in the truth. Once we become born again, then from that point on, we enter into the lifelong process of being sanctified into truth. And you'll find it in John 17:17. This happens as we put off our former way of thinking and are transformed and renewed in our minds through the Word of God. Read that again. This happens as we put off our former way of thinking and are transformed and renewed in our minds through the Word of God. So this is why God keeps saying, I'm trying to change your mindsets. He wants to get that old mindset out of you so he can renew your mind. Because if he doesn't do that, you're going to keep going back to your old way of thinking, your old way of doing, and that's not going to get you to heaven. It happens as Christians put off falsehood and speak the truth to one another in love to their edification. We are changed as Christians put off falsehood and speak the truth to one another in love to their edification. You know, I've heard Christians say to another Christian, they didn't want to hurt their feeling. They said, well, you know, God understands. Get out of here. I've heard Christians who didn't want to change say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does know your heart, but he also sees your ways. Come on. Well, you know, God knows that I'm bound and I'm really trying to get unbound, but are you really trying to get unbound, or you just want God to zap you on top of your head and yank everything out? Come on. Let's be honest with ourselves, saints. It's the truth will set you free. Come on. This also involves guarding our minds from anything which is not true. Philippians 4:8. And avoiding all forms of knowledge which turn us from Christ. Colossians 2. It means turning from gossip, rumor, speculation, myths, and the traditions of men, and turning to Christ and His Word. Let's say that again. It means turning from gossip, rumor, speculation, myths, and the traditions of men, and turning to Christ and His Word. It means learning to look at the world as it really is. And you'll find all that in Proverbs. And what the world really is, dark. And a prophet brought forth, he's really a neat prophet too, he brought forth the word, is, you know, God's been telling us this, but somebody's finally writing about it now, that we have not even seen darkness yet. Yeah, and if we haven't even, and we know we haven't seen darkness yet, but can you imagine what it's going to be like when darkness really does come? It means putting the truth into practice and not just making it a profession. It means clinging only to those truths which the Bible clearly and emphatically reveal as such, and holding much more tentatively those truths which are regarded as such by mere men. It means learning the truth for ourselves and not depending on others to tell us what is true. In other words, get in your word. Get before the Father. Let Him speak to you. Let Him tell you the truth. You know, you can hear a prophetic word, and Satan can twist that thing to make it mean something that God didn't even say, but you will believe it with every fiber of your being, that because that's just how sly Satan is. You need to stop that. Quit twisting the word of God that you get. Quit taking it, making somebody else tell you what God is saying. Don't bring it to me. I'll just flat tell you. I don't know. God spoke it through me. There it is. And I already forgot what I said because it's not me speaking. I don't remember anything I tell you because I'm not, anyhow, my mind can't hold all that. I prophesy too much. I can't hold all that. I hear God saying you don't have a big enough bottle to bottle all that up in there. So, you know, if you're arguing over a prophetic word you got, then you're in trouble. You're just in trouble. You just need to lay that thing down because that's the enemy trying to bring you into confusion back into his camp. Come on. Centuries ago, the prophet Amos spoke of a famine in Amos 8:11. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. And that really did happen. And I believe we're going to go into it again. I believe that they're going to take our Bibles from us and we're going to have to hide in order to meet together. That's not gospel. I'm just saying that's just what I feel in my spirit. All right. What you need to do is hear it for yourself from God. We live in a time of great famine. It is not because the Bible is inaccessible to us or that we are forbidden to study it. It is not for lack of many good books and study helps. It is for lack of a love of the truth and ultimately for our Lord Himself. I've told you before, I'm going to tell you again, the pastor's runner said, if you would just quit preaching so hard, you'd have the biggest church around here because people love you. They don't want to hear that they're in sin. That's what they told me. Don't preach against sin. I said, I have to preach what God's telling me to preach. I don't care how many people come because I'm not going to stand before God and be sent to hell because of you. Come on. I'm going to stand before God and hopefully He says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on in. You know, they didn't believe you, but that if God told me one time, daughter, you're trying to convince them that what you tell them is the truth. He said, stop it. All you're supposed to do is to give them the word. They do whatever they want to with the word. I'm going to hold them accountable for what they heard. I'm not holding you accountable for what they did with what they heard. So each one of you in here this morning, you understand this. You are not held accountable for what God has you speak. The person that hears it and won't receive it is the one that's held accountable. All right? Let us put on the truth as our armor. Let us, like David, yearn for a deeper knowledge of God through his word. Let us meditate upon his truth day and night. Let us pray in accordance with his truth. And let us walk in the truth to his glory and our good. Let's read that again. Let us put on the truth this morning, all right, as our armor. Let us, like David, yearn for a deeper knowledge of God through his word. Let us meditate upon his truth day and night. Let us pray in accordance with his truth, and let us walk in the truth to his glory and our good. I got an extra piece of paper, but nothing's on it, so I won't read what's on it, all right? Are you really ready for the truth to saturate your very soul? Because it's that truth that is going to set you free. Guys, I really don't care what you do with the word that God has me give you, but I do hope you do take it into your spirit. I do hope you take it home and chew on it just a little tiny bit. And I do hope you do take it before the Lord and say, Father God, is this really the truth? Do I have to get out of the gray area that it doesn't even exist? Do I really have to walk in black or walk in white? And see what he tells you. You know, you'd be surprised how people will talk to you and try to get to manipulate you to say what they want to hear. Walk away from that foolishness. That is not of God. And you know, I can always tell when I'm talking to somebody if they have an argument of spirit, my spirit goes wild. And I just don't really want to talk to you whenever I know you have an argument of spirit, because what you're trying to do is to have me say something that God is not wanting to say. You just want me to say what you want to hear. And I just really don't want to talk to you, because you're messing my spirit man up. And this is the way each one of you should be. You're out there ministering to the world, and the world is messed up. And whenever it makes your spirit go, you know, you need to just sort of close that thing down, because they're going to try, that devil in them is going to try to make you believe you're wrong and they're right. Come on. You know, you can't do that. Somebody called my house today and I didn't recognize the number, so I called it back. And they said, how are you, Mrs. Lynch? And I said, I'm fine. And I'm so-and-so. I didn't remember who it was, a friend of Jimmy's. And he said, do you still preach that hard word that we're going to go to hell? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, you're right. That's probably where I'm going. You know, he said, you haven't seen me for a while. And I thought, I don't even know who you are, you know. But, you know, so that's how they know me. She preaches hell. You know, we can preach heaven till we're blue in the face, and people are still going to go to hell. So people have to know there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Now, in your workplace, you'll meet an awful lot of people that need to hear the truth of the word of God. Now, are you ashamed of your belief that you don't speak about God? Or are you just going to go ahead and just tell them, hey, you know, Jesus really does love you. You have some drunk sitting in front of you blurbing in his beer, you know, and you just tell him, you know, he thinks that life's, you know, done and over with and he has no future. Just say, you know, Jesus loves you, even though nobody else does. And you'd be surprised what that one little statement might do to them. Because they're drunk and that's going in their head, you know, and they're going to wake up and think, I think I heard that Jesus loves me. Of course he does. He loves you when you go to hell. You know, he does walk the corridors of hell and he weeps over you. He can't help you then, but he still loves you. It doesn't mean that when one of your children goes astray, you don't forget them, do you? You don't quit loving them just because he went astray, but you can't help them. So we just go on, hoping some days they'll hear a word from somebody that'll turn them around. Amen. God wants to know where you're at this morning. Are you walking in truth and liberty, or are you walking in half-truth where it really doesn't exist and you're not in his complete and total will? Only you know where you're at with God. Only you know what you do with the word of God. I don't know. Only you know if you like to hear it twisted or if you twist it once you hear it. And only you know if you go out here and say, well, I just don't believe everything I just heard. You don't have to. But one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to wish you would have listened. I gave you scriptures. You can go and look at the scriptures yourself. You and God, you and the Holy Spirit, you sit down with the scriptures and you let the Holy Spirit tell you the truth. Don't be walking under any more deception. Don't do that. You allow the Lord God, Jesus Christ, who came, he was happy in heaven. He had to come down here and suffer. And look what he did just for you. Who else would do that for you? The devil won't do that for you. But Jesus did. And he had even had to go through that ugly old thing and have him tempt him. You ever think about that? How degrading that must have been. Had the devil himself come to the Son of God and put him through that stuff. The altar's open if you want to know the truth, if you really want God to saturate this word that you heard this morning and let the truth come alive in you. The altar's open. And God will touch you in a mighty way. He will change your mind, rearrange the way you think, and he will declare the truth to you. If you're in some confusion, you just don't quite believe that, you know, that everything we preach is right, ask God to open up your mind this morning. Ask him to reveal the truth to you as only he can reveal it. Tell him you don't want man to reveal it to you. You want him to reveal it to you.